God's grace is enough. Amen?
Amen?
Are there times when it doesn't feel like it's enough, though? Are there times when we find ourselves in the middle of a mess and we wonder, God, why have you allowed this to happen, especially when it's a mess that we haven't made? Today is our last day in this series of Out of the Mess. We've celebrated that God sent his son into this messy world to bring it out, because God loves all the messy people of the world. God loves us, but he calls us out of our mess. And so when I think about messes, as a dad, a husband with four kids, our house sometimes gets messy, all right? And we have a couple decisions, okay? What happens if we ignore the mess? Will it get clean up by itself? Will the dish fairy come and wash all the dishes, all right? No, all right, there's no such thing as a dish fairy. Yeah, have you ever had a mess and you just kind of ignore it, or you try to sweep it under the rug, or you just kind of cover it up? Does the mess go away? Often, if you try to ignore a mess, in reality, it gets messier, right? It gets messier. And that's what I want to talk about today, that when we find ourselves in a mess, whether it's a mess that we've caused because of our own sin, our selfishness, what we confessed earlier, we haven't loved God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, or we haven't loved our neighbor as ourselves, or maybe just something's happened to us that's totally outside of our control, and we find ourselves in a mess. Is God's grace enough? Does God's grace, kind of like Hannah's children's message, give us a north, give us a way out of our mess? That's what I want to talk about today, and particularly looking about a person who lived about 1,000 years B.C. We're going to talk about David before he became king. We all know about King David and a lot of the stuff that happened to his life. But when he was just a boy, God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be king. And all the big brothers came by, and God said, I don't want any of those. Do you have any other sons? And what was David doing? He was out taking care of the sheep. And so he brought him in, and Samuel anointed David king over Israel. But there was a problem, all right? Samuel anointed David while Israel already had a king, right? Their king, it was Saul. And so David anointed this king. There's already another king. And so this is kind of, I've chosen you, but not yet. I've given you this grace, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet. And so David continues to be a shepherd. One day his dad sends him to take lunches to his brothers who are battling the Philistines. And the Philistines have this giant of a man who taunts all of the Israelite soldiers. And his name was David and Goliath, right? And David can't just stand by and let this Philistine mock God and his people. And so David says, let me battle him. And he tries on Saul's armor and it doesn't fit. And David says, God will take care of me. And so David goes to battle Goliath with five smooth stones. All right, do you remember that from your Sunday school days? Five smooth stones. And before Goliath could get him, David slings that stone, hits him in the forehead, knocks him, and David cuts off his head and claims victory for God. All right. Pretty cool. All right. How was David treated after he killed Goliath? He was a celebrity. He was lifted up, and because it had pleased the people, Saul said, David, come lead my armies. And whatever David did, he was successful. God was with him and granted him great victories in battle. So much so that as Saul and his armies went out, when they came back in, the women greeted them at the gates and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. How does this make the king feel? How does this make Saul feel? He gets pretty jealous. He gets pretty jealous because he sees that David's got something that he doesn't. And so Saul tries to figure out, how can I bring David and put him under my control? So he says, I know, I'll marry him to one of my daughters. And the first time that Saul offers that, David says, no, I'm just a humble shepherd boy. I don't deserve to marry a princess. And so people then call David, he's so humble, he's humble. And then finally, one of Saul's daughters, Michal, falls in love with David, and they agree and they get married. And so now David is the king's son-in-law. But Saul still hates David, so much so that one time he tries to take a spear, a javelin, and just pin David to the wall. And he so is jealous of David that he tries to kill him. Now, in all of this, has David done anything wrong? Has David just done what God asked him to do? Be brave, trust me, be faithful. And God delivered all of his enemies to himself. And so David has done nothing to cause this mess. And yet he finds himself in this mess that his father-in-law, the king of Israel, wants him dead. So much so that Michal hides David and allows him to escape. Jonathan says, David, run, my dad is going to kill you. And so that's where we find ourselves before our text from 1 Samuel 24. And so we find David hiding. He became an outlaw, running from his father-in-law who wanted him dead. Well, one day reports came to Saul that said that David is in the desert of En-Gedi. And so Saul took 3,000 men to do what? To kill David. 3,000 men to make sure that David is not a problem any longer. And so they go into these mountains and these hills, and it's a kind of a desert, but every once in a while there's caves and there's springs, and so the shepherds, they knew where these springs were because that's where they would take the sheep to protect them in the storms. And so they go to set out for David. And as they are going, okay, Saul came to the sheep pens along the way, and there was a cave. And so Saul went in to relieve himself, okay? As a father of a middle school boy, Isaac, I think this is the only time in the Bible where it talks about somebody going to the bathroom, okay? All right? Hey, middle school humor, right? You know, he found a cave, and the king of Israel tells all his guys, come on, I've got to go relieve myself. And 3,000 men watch and wait while Saul goes into the cave to relieve himself, right? It's in the Bible, okay? I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. And here's the catch. Guess who else is in the cave? David. And all his men are further back in the cave. It seems that God is setting David up. Saul is there, defenseless, helpless. What could David do? Kill him. Get rid of the problem. In fact, that's what his men say. They say, this is the day that the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Because come on now, of all the caves in the mountainside of Israel, the fact that David and his men were in the back of the cave and Saul says, I've got to go to the bathroom, I'm going to go into that cave, it's like God has lined this up, right? And so his men are saying, go. Take care of your mess by killing King Saul. Basically, they're telling David, do unto him as he intends to do to you. Isn't that what the world says? An eye for an, a tooth for a, all right, if they're going to get you, get them first. But what happens when you do that? You're taking a messy situation, and in reality, when you do an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you're making it messier. When you take revenge into your own hands, when you take the hurts and give them to somebody else, you're making a messy situation messier. Because the truth of that is, even when you're in the mess, even when you're suffering for the sake of Christ, that's what we heard in our epistle lesson. When you're suffering for doing what is good, should you stop doing what is good? No. keep doing what is right. Kind of one of the old-fashioned words for this is virtue. That when you ignore virtue, you eventually will make a mess. When you ignore God's direction, when you sin, when you break his commandments, you will make a mess in your life, and it might pour out in the lives of others. God has given us a compass in his word, in his Bible, by his Holy Spirit, to live according to his plan. Whenever we ignore that, we create messes. And the truth is, once we find ourselves in a mess, usually every mess comes with bad options. You might say you're in a financial mess. Maybe if I just take out another credit card and then just shift my bills onto another credit card, right? That'll take care of my mess for a little bit. Okay. What about if somebody else is really being mean to you and spreading rumors? Well, I'll start spreading rumors about them. What if there's a problem, a sin in your life, and one lie leads to a bigger lie, one deception leads to another deception because you're afraid of your mess? So God calls us out of the mess by his truth, by his word, to follow Jesus. When you think about David, in his mess, Saul was there in the cave. Do you think he was justified to go and kill Saul? Could he have gone there and gone and killed Saul? Would have been, you know, Saul was trying to do what to him? Kill him, all right? Excuse me, sorry. I think he was justified to go do that. Was it expected? Did men expect him to go? You did this all to the Philistines. Go kill this one man. Your problem, your mess is done. But was it the right thing to do? Was it virtuous? No. No. And so David, he got up there. Maybe he's prompted by his men. He went there, and he thought, if I kill Saul, in this moment, my mess is gone. But is his mess gone? Imagine if he went back home, and his wife, Michael, asked David, how's my dad? Where's my dad? When's he coming home? What does David say about that? When he has grandkids, tell me again, Grandpa, how did you become king? I killed my father-in-law. It's not a good option, is it? It could have been an option. It was a bad option. And so David in that moment was struck by God to say, this isn't right. And so he just cut a corner off of Saul's robe. He just cut a corner. And even that, his heart was stricken because he knew who put Saul on the throne. God did. Saul was God's anointed. And so David went back to his men and he explained his action. This isn't right. This isn't virtuous. God has set Saul on the throne. I can't lift my hand against him. And so he rebuked his men, and Saul left the cave. He went on his way. But then David went out of the cave. I don't know if he went, woohoo, Saul, you know. Look, I cut this from your robe. My Lord and my God, I could have killed you. God delivered you into my hands. Even though you wanted me dead, I spared you. I said, I will not lift my hand to my master because he is the one the Lord has put on this throne. I won't do this. I will allow God to clean up my mess. I will do what is right. I will do what is virtuous. I'm opting for virtue over virtue. I think that's so important. If you read 1 Samuel, just a few chapters later, Saul is out in a battle, and a random stray Philistine arrow takes Saul's life. And God lifts David up to be king. You know, Saul or David could have had a whole different story if he would have chosen that bad option. Because messes come prepackaged with bad options. to try to cover it up, to try to deceive, to try to lie, to try to not deal with it. And it becomes messier. But David knew he had a story. And the choices that he made while he was in that mess would become a permanent part of his story. What story did he want to tell his wife, his kids, his grandkids, when he stood before his maker? And so as we go through our messes, there are so many options in this world that says, follow this. This is the easy way. This is a quick fix. But Jesus invites us to follow him. Jesus was lifted up upon a cross and says, I have died on the cross to pay for your mess. I have died on the cross to take away your sin. I have died on the cross so that nothing can separate you from the love of God the Father. And so Jesus calls us out of the darkness, out of our mess, into his life. So when we find ourselves in the mess, what is our number one course? Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. When we take our options and we say, all right, Jesus, what do you think of this option for my mess? That sheds light on what's a good option and what's a bad option. And so we God, let me follow you. Let me trust you. Even when I don't know what else to do, Jesus, I choose to follow you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, allow me to do what is right, what is virtuous, so that others may be able to hear my story, that when I was in my mess, God delivered me. When I was in my mess, God gave me the strength to face the day. When I was facing the mess, I didn't know what else to do. I followed God, and he led me into a better place, a better life. May we in our lives, as we follow him, give him glory, and may our stories help others follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace that you gave to David, that you delivered him from his mess. Lord, we know that our lives are going to be messy. We are sinners and we sin. But when we find ourselves in a mess, may our number one option be to look to Jesus, look to your word, spend time with you in prayer that you might direct us and lead us. Lord, we know that you love us even though we're sinners. You loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross that you might take us out of the mess. Help us, Jesus, to follow you, to hear your voice, and even when we're suffering for doing what is right and what is good, to trust you, to follow you out of our mess. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.